You're listening to the Food Freedom Life Podcast. My name is Brittany Allison, and I spent 6+ years stuck in diet binge cycles, hating my body and envying others who seem to have it all because I never felt enough. What I discovered in my journey to food freedom and becoming a registered dietitian is this: you can either live your life at war with your mind or learn to work in sync with it. So if you're ready to learn how to be in tune with yourself and evolve your life, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. It is a rainy, rainy day here in Toronto, which I kind of like. As a kid, always loved rainy days because it meant I got to just stay inside and watch TV shows, which feels kind of nostalgic for me. It feels very cozy and warm. And although I have to work and I can't just watch TV shows all day, it kind of just brings a nice homey vibe to the day, which I really like. And today for the show, I wanted to get into overeating. This episode is for those of you who aren't necessarily binge eating. Maybe you are still, but maybe you used to and you ended it. Or for those of you who were never really bingers, but regardless, now you feel like there are some other eating habits that are interfering with your life that you want to improve, like maybe compulsive overeating or emotional overeating. So today I'm going to talk about this with the aim of helping you understand and start to let go of any overeating behaviors that aren't feeling so good. And something I think that's important to recognize is that food and eating can absolutely make you feel good. Emotional eating is not inherently a bad thing. You've heard me say that before, you're hearing me say it again, and I will continue to say it because it's not a bad thing. It's not something we want to demonize. We never want to look at it that way, that it's a bad thing, because that creates more restriction in our minds. That makes us swing that pendulum up to the restriction side, and then it ends up swinging over to the overeating or even the binge side even more. Emotional eating is not a bad thing. It can absolutely help and be a tool in your toolbox to help you deal with tough emotions or get through rough times. But that overeating where you're so full and stuffed and you feel like crap, or you're eating really often when you're not hungry, that is not doing anything positive for you. It's not helping you cope with anything in your life. It's not giving you any true pleasure. Regardless of if you've struggled with binge eating or disordered eating or just eating behaviors that don't feel good, I think it's important starting out to define what overeating means to you, because there isn't just one definition. It's not standard across the board. And I think that's an important thing to think about, right? There's not one amount of food that is considered overeating, because everybody has different needs when it comes to food and different eating patterns, different eating styles. So overeating is not just one thing. It doesn't mean one thing. It's very individual. There's no universally agreed upon definition of overeating, except for maybe the dictionary definition, which is to eat too much. But that's so subjective. And I think we tend to also base overeating on diet culture's ideas of how much we should eat or how much should be enough, which is usually wrong and less than what we actually need. There's not one universal portion size of food that works for everybody at every meal. There's no standard. It's based on your body and how you feel. And importantly, what ends up being too much food at one meal might be the perfect amount of food the next day at that same meal, right? So it's variable. How one person defines overeating is quite different from how somebody else might define overeating. And this matters. When this word is thrown around as something that you're supposed to avoid or that's shameful without there being a consensus on what it means, it often leads many to feel like if they eat until they're full, or sometimes if they eat anything at all, then they've done something wrong. Overeating is not inherently a bad thing. It's a part of normal eating from time to time. Overeating only really becomes something to work on when, according to your definition of what it is, it's happening very frequently and it's negatively impacting your mental and or physical health. It's getting in the way of your life and your well-being. And I think that's really how you know if overeating and if the results of your overeating are a problem for you, right? Is it a problem physically? Do you walk around with thoughts about food all the time? Like, was I good? Was I bad? What did I just do? How should I eat? How do I have to compensate for what I just ate? If those thoughts are continuously running through your mind, then I would say that overeating is a problem for you. And if you dread anything negative coming your way, I mean, nobody wants negative things, but if you feel like, uh-oh, something's gonna come and I know I can't cope with it unless I go out and buy 3 boxes of cookies, then that to me is a problem. And the good thing, for all these different reasons, is that the issue of overeating can definitely be solved. So if you're like, yep, it's a problem, but here I am, and I know it's a problem, but I keep on doing it. Here are a few reasons why you might be engaging in continuous overeating and have a hard time stopping, even though you know it's an issue. One reason why you might experience this frequent overeating, which ends up not feeling good as a whole, is this idea that overeating makes you feel better. It's soothing, it's comforting, it's enjoyable, and so you think, it's gonna make me feel better. And even when it doesn't, you do it again and again and again, expecting a different result. And again, I'm not talking about overeating that happens as a very normal part of regular eating, where you might really enjoy what you're eating, and so you make a conscious decision that, yes, I am physically full, but I'm not quite mentally satisfied yet, so I want to continue eating a few bites, even though I know I'm going to be past comfortable fullness. That's normal. That's gonna happen sometimes. I'm more referring to the kind of overeating that you're using to soothe yourself, but then you end up just eating and feeling the same way after, but overfull and perhaps a bit more focused on how full you are instead of the other thing that you were thinking about or dealing with before. And you do that again and again and again, and it leads you to feel like crap. Part of moving past this is shifting your perspective in the moment. Because in the moment, if you're thinking, what do I need right now in order to feel better? Then absolutely, you might think that eating a lot of food is gonna benefit you. It's gonna take the pain away, it's gonna take the stress away, the worry away, the fear away, problems away, in the moment. So the biggest thing is realizing that if you look at the big picture of your life, right, if you zoom out and look at not just that moment in time, but the whole big picture down the road, the benefits to eating in that moment are few and far between. It doesn't actually help. It's when you're looking at it though in that specific moment and you feel desperate to feel better that you convince yourself that extra food is gonna do that for you. And when you realize this, you're able to look at the behavior a lot more objectively and see in part that these thoughts are a product of an ingrained habit. It's not actually helping you do what you want it to do. It's like in the moment, there's this illusion that overeating or eating in a harmful way is going to help you. But when you step back, again, zoom out, or even after you do it and you kind of have that awareness moment, you realize that the consequences of it make it so that the behavior was not worth it. Something that truly makes you feel better or helps you or makes you feel good, it feels good while you're doing it, and it also has to feel good after you do it in retrospect. Repeated overeating and binge eating definitely do not feel good when you're done. But maybe that normal overeating, that kind of overeating that you make more of a conscious choice to do, maybe that feels good because you have decided it. It's not something that just happened to you. It wasn't just a knee-jerk reaction. It wasn't just a pattern that is ingrained or a habit. And getting back to those perceived benefits of overeating, I want to help you understand that thinking that overeating benefits you is really a fantasy that only appears in moments before you engage in the behavior. Overeating actually doesn't make you feel better, and this is partly why. Any kind of food that we eat, our body takes it in and breaks it down and uses it for what we need. Our brain, though, on the other hand, perceives food as pleasure, as a reward. And this is a survival mechanism, right? Our brain releases dopamine as a way to say, good job for doing this thing that you need to do in order to keep living. And this is not a bad thing. In fact, it's a really positive thing. But then on top of this, our culture teaches us that food will always make us happy or more relaxed or more social, or it will reward us for something we've done, or it'll distract us from something we don't like. And part of being human is that we are wired to seek pleasure and avoid pain, and to develop habits so that we don't have to think every time we do something so that it becomes automatic. So you're sad, you feel like you should have a treat to make you feel better. You worked hard today, here's a little piece of cake. Or, oh, you did so well in the work project, let's go celebrate and have a big dinner. So the overall belief is that food will make us feel better, but then you throw dieting and restriction into the equation where you're depriving yourself of eating enough food or eating certain kinds of food, whatever it may be, and now your brain releases even more dopamine when you eat as a way to really try to get you to eat more, to eat enough, to eat a variety. It becomes even more pleasurable. It makes it even more of a reward. But here's the other part of that. We think we should feel good and happy all the time, as often as we can. So I don't want to take away the idea that food is pleasurable. It is, and it always will be, it should be. But it's pleasurable when you use it for the right reasons, which is when you are hungry, when you are sharing it with someone you love, when the occasion calls for it, when, sure, maybe you want something yummy at the end of a long week, But it starts to cross over into harm instead of pleasure when we're relying on it as the sole thing that will make us feel better, and when we're going about it in a way that puts us above and beyond what our body needs in a given moment frequently. There is a point when you tap into those harmful overeating behaviors that it's just not actual pleasure. And the more you can see that, the more you'll be able to acknowledge and move forward from those urges to do that. I think we also have to break down the cultural idea that we should always be happy and feel good, that it's our main goal in life. The way I look at it is that we need to get more comfortable with feeling good and with feeling bad. We need to be able to feel negative feelings in addition to experiencing the positive ones. Although it's helpful to know how to help ourselves and tools and strategies to feel better, sometimes we also need to be okay with being uncomfortable. Because if you feel like you always need to fix the discomfort, and the discomfort is so strong, that's when you grab something for instant relief. And it's like trying to fit the wrong puzzle piece into the hole that's left in the puzzle. Food has nothing to do why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. So it's like you're giving yourself a solution, but it's not the solution to the problem that you have. So we think we should be happy all the time, number one. And we think that food is going to help us even when we're not hungry. And although it can help to a point, absolutely, I'm not denying that. It is a little bit, but not really actually that much. Anything past that ends up being harmful to us. But I think our culture supports that, like, oh, you know, treat yourself. It's what we learn. When we're kids, we get rewarded with food. When we're dieting, we get rewarded with cheat meals. There's so many things that lead us to where today as adults, we're stuck in the habit. And we keep thinking that it's going to help, but it doesn't really. We need to take a step back and look at what we're doing, how we're using food, and come to the conclusion of, hey, this isn't working. It only helps to a certain point, but not when I eat these really large quantities. Or it makes me feel better for about a minute, and then I'm still left with the problems that I had right in the beginning. With overeating, you develop habits. And the habit could be, you know, everybody's in bed and so this is my time to relax, I'm gonna eat. Or it could be an emotion of, I'm so stressed, I need to eat. And when we feel these urges, all we wanna do is relieve them. But after we eat, we're still left with whatever was behind the urge to eat in the first place. If it's a habit, you're strengthening the habit that you don't want by continuing to engage in it. If it's an emotion, the emotion and the situation that helped create it, they're still there. So we're not accomplishing anything. It's like we're feeding a habit that we don't want, whether it's binging or habitual overeating or emotional overeating. We think it's working in the moment, but it's actually not working at all. And it's helpful to step back and see that and to realize that any sort of comfort you may feel or any stress relief you may feel can simply be from those urges going away. Because when you have those habitual urges, whether they're linked to emotions or stress or certain issues or situations, that temporary reprieve from those urges is the sort of stress relief you're getting, but it doesn't actually help you cope. It doesn't actually solve anything. It's so helpful to remember that it does not do anything positive for you. It affects your life so much. It could affect the rest of your day, the rest of your week. It really interferes with what you're trying to accomplish and who you want to be. And I don't just mean weight. Let's take weight away from it for a minute. This pattern leads to you constantly having drama in your mind about, what did I eat? What should I eat? Did I eat too much? Should I eat now or not? Is this good? Is this bad? And in the moment, it feels like, oh, it's just a little bit, or oh, it's just this one time. What's the big deal? Other people have more serious problems than this. But that mental drama it causes, the way it makes you feel physically, it impacts your everyday life and it gets further and further away from how you want to feel. It breaks the trust you have between you and your body. It impacts your self-esteem and your belief in your ability to reach other goals in life. It's huge. And I don't think that's where any of us really want to be. So it's just about evaluating it's what it's doing to you and seeing the big picture and realizing that in the moment that you want to engage in that behavior, your brain is going to produce those thoughts like, oh, it's not a big deal, just one more time. But then seeing those thoughts as neurological connections that are all part of the habit that you don't want to be following anymore. It's almost like you have to get out of the moment, because in the moment, you'll always want what's in front of you. We all do. But you have to get out of that moment and project yourself into yourself in the future, knowing that everything you do today is going to equal your future. And are you happy going in the direction you're going? So you have to make decisions today from the viewpoint of future you. And that's a skill that people need to learn. That's a skill that I teach inside the Food Freedom Forever program, inside my Empowered Eaters Collective. It's not something that comes naturally. We're all creatures of, what do I want right now? And I think that's one of these issues, is that common phrase of, do I want that? I actually don't think that that is a helpful question. What's a lot more helpful, and listen up here, write this down because this is what you need to remember. What's a lot more helpful is instead getting curious about, what do I need in the moment? That's a really powerful way to reframe it as it's happening. Your brain is going to drive you towards things that are pleasurable. And of course, it's okay to get pleasure from food. We want to enjoy food. But in those moments when you feel like you're on the brink of doing something that's harmful, flipping it and asking, what do I truly need in this moment? Instead of asking, what do I want? It can be such a helpful way to take care of yourself, because that's just going into that habitual harmful behavior of something that's so far from self-care. It's not helping with anything. And to be able to really turn your focus onto what you need, I think that's such a helpful perspective. Just flipping the words from, do I want this or what do I want, to asking and getting curious about, what do I need right now? That's really what self-care is. It's figuring out what you need and finding a way to give it to yourself. In the moment, thinking, I'm not hungry, do I want that extra piece of cake or pizza or whatever it is? The answer is, yeah, like, of course you want it. Your brain thinks that you want it. You've developed this habit of going until you're uncomfortable. But what you need to figure out is what you need. And not just getting caught up in like, oh, I don't need this cake or I don't need this pizza, but genuinely getting curious about, what do you need? And it maybe is, you know, a break, a rest, talking to a friend, connection, finding stimulation in something else hands-on. It might just be having time to think and training yourself to take care of your actual needs. One other thing I think is helpful to mention here is doing those things I suggested, like calling a friend, taking a break. They might not make those urges to overeat go away because they are so habitual. But because you're taking care of yourself, you're turning your attention in that moment towards what you actually need. And by doing that over and over and over, those thoughts, those feelings, those urges, they are going to go away. Or if they're still there, they're going to be a lot easier to acknowledge and move on from. Because the more you actually give yourself what you need and do some other form of taking care of yourself when you're not hungry, the better you get at that instead of going right to food. We break that automatic habit knee-jerk reaction. You can also start to get better at stepping back and seeing what's happening, where those desires are coming from, so that you can choose something different. Something I think is helpful when overcoming any harmful behavior, and specifically in relation to food and overeating, is focusing on your why. Why you want this behavior out of your life. I think most people would love to be free from these habits, and the key word here is free. They don't want to continue living in the struggle. And wouldn't it be nice to just imagine living your life without this secret struggle going on in your brain all the time about, should I or shouldn't I eat that? And to just be a normal eater, which means like noticing when you're hungry, you think about what you want to eat and you make a choice and you eat without the drama. So not just thinking about, oh, I want to get out of these habits because they're so uncomfortable or because like I want to lose weight and it's getting in the way, but really shifting away from that and looking at how these patterns are getting in the way of your daily life, your daily functioning, how you feel, how you think about yourself, and using that as your why, your guiding compass forward when things get hard. And it feels easier to just be like, oh, just this one last time, and then I'll stop. Go back to your why. It's a great way to focus on what you truly need for your life and how to truly take care of yourself. One last thing I want to mention is that I've been talking about overeating urges connected to stress. Now, I think a lot of people can get the perception that that means I'm saying you have to solve those problems or you have to learn to cope with those emotions in order to avoid the overeating or the binging. But I want to talk about the fact that you can navigate these situations even if you don't have those problems fully figured out, even if you're not coping perfectly with the emotion. Because you know what? We can't avoid feeling bad. That is the truth. You need to work on accepting that before you even work on this. Your goal is not to feel happy and light and carefree all the time. There are going to be things that happen in all of our daily lives that totally justify feeling bad or sad or overwhelmed or angry or stressed. It's not always about fixing our feelings. What you need to understand is what really does make you feel better aside from food. And I think what really does give relief, because it's not ultimately going to be food, is understanding what creates your emotions. We create our emotions with what we're thinking and what we believe, and knowing deep down inside that you can handle any feelings, even the ones that you don't like. Not all feelings are good, but feelings can't hurt you. And the truth is also that when you don't run away from what you're feeling, if you allow yourself to feel it, it passes. When you eat to feel better, you're muffling the feeling. And then as soon as you stop eating, it's still there. So working on accepting that as a human, you are going to have a wide range of feelings, a wide range of different types of thoughts that have nothing to do with food, and that it's okay to sometimes feel bad. And of course, I'm not talking about someone who feels bad most of the time and might be seriously depressed and might need to get clinical help. I'm talking about maybe an average person who feels pretty good a third of the time, kind of neutral a third of the time, and not so good a third of the time. And if that's you, that's okay. That's normal. You don't have to escape it. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to change it. That's just a part of life. And I think if we could accept that, then we could take a step back and say, well, if that's normal, why am I leaning so much on food to get me through those negative parts? Why do I connect that so deeply with how I feel? The more comfortable you are with letting these uncomfortable emotions pass and just having a feeling and letting it fade away and just going through life, all the good and the bad, I think it actually helps you to become better at recognizing those desires to eat when it's not necessarily going to serve you, and letting them pass, doing something else in the moment that will genuinely give you a bit of a lift or help you move forward and distract you without the collateral damage. And if you've been in the habit of overeating for a long time, and especially when you want to get away from an uncomfortable feeling, you're likely afraid to not eat the food because you're worried the feeling is going to be so big and so strong and so terrible and just so uncomfortable, you feel like it's going to overwhelm you and you won't be able to handle it. That's just your fear. That's just your thought, because you're not practiced in feeling the feeling and sitting in it and looking at it neutrally. And that's the hump that you need to get over. And this can also be where nervous system regulation strategies can come in handy too and be a really, really big help. But the first step is awareness. You need to develop that awareness around the uncomfy feeling and the desire to go to food to cope with it and soothe and distract. Once you have that awareness, yes, you can sit in it, and that's a solid skill to practice. But what can also help you regulate in that moment is focusing on calming down your nervous system. When you feel like your brain is in crisis mode and you may not be able to think logically, it's kind of like all logic goes out the window, your usual is to go to food. But of course, that's what we're aiming to not do as much anymore. So we want to bring attention to how we can regulate our nervous system to help our brain slow down and think more logically. Scientists know that aquatic mammals like whales and dolphins and seals can override basic homeostatic reflexes in order to be able to survive long periods underwater. And they discovered that cold water has the same effect on humans, also known as the dive reflex. If you felt moments of panic or overwhelm or anxiety or stress, your heart might beat a little bit faster, maybe you get kind of hot, your chest maybe feels tight or heavy. These symptoms are coming from your nervous system. It also feels like your brain is kind of stuck, and it's because your nervous system is stuck on hyper alert and as a result has kicked you out of your comfort zone. And when you're feeling that way, it activates the sympathetic nervous system. Coupled with the parasympathetic nervous system, which is often referred to as the rest and digest system, that dampens the sympathetic responses and keeps the body in a restorative and resting state. So studies, they have shown that the dive reflex occurs from signals sent by the trigeminal nerves in your face. So when cold water hits your face, a message is sent to the vagus nerve, and the vagus nerve controls the parasympathetic nervous system. It connects to the base of the brain, to the rest of the body, and regulates your heart rate and your breathing and other essential functions. So by activating the dive reflex, you're able to reset a hyper-aroused nervous system. I hope you're all with me. If you need to listen to that again, go for it, do it. When activating the dive reflex, your heart rate decreases, you increase peripheral vascular resistance, which leads to a redistribution of blood flow, and human beings are hardwired for self-preservation through our nervous system. So when this system thinks that we're in danger, it kicks into gear to help us survive. But sometimes our body's physiological gas pedal almost gets like stuck against the floor, and we find our brains get stuck, growing more anxious, more irritable, not knowing what to do, getting stuck in old thought loops and patterns, like going to food to soothe and cope. So by intervening with the dive reflex, your body will return to a resting state, you'll feel more grounded, and you can navigate the situation more easily. So if you're listening and thinking, this is great, but where the heck am I going to find a place to go diving every time I feel panicked? I have good news. There are simple, accessible, and quick ways to trick your body into releasing your dive reflex. One way is to find a large bowl, kind of like a salad bowl, and fill it with water, ice water. Next, hold your breath, plunge your face into the water for as long as you can. You don't need to try to hold your breath and be a hero for a super long period of time, just like a normal amount of time that you would be underwater for. Take your head out of the water, take a few deep breaths with your eyes closed, and repeat the dunking process again 4 or 5 times. If this is not doable or you're not comfortable putting your face in water, if you're not comfortable underwater, there are a few other ways to stimulate the same response. Alternative dive reflex exercises can be filling a Ziploc bag with ice, laying down with it on your forehead or on your sternum right in the middle of your chest, using a cold towel or frozen vegetables on your forehead, splashing really cold water on your face a few times, holding ice cubes in your hands and taking deep breaths, or taking a really cold shower. There are other nervous system regulation strategies that we talk about inside the Empowered Eaters Collective, and they are truly so helpful. They make a huge difference, and the more you practice them, the better you get at it. With time, you end up retraining your brain not to automatically drive you towards food when you have an uncomfortable emotion. Will that emotion still be uncomfortable? Yes, but you can handle it. I promise, you can handle more than you think you can. And maybe a flipped way of looking at this is that practicing these tools and ultimately finding freedom from these behaviors actually makes your life more comfortable overall. Like, you get so many benefits. You get to live your life without constantly feeling driven towards food and the guilt and no shame. So you actually get to experience a more comfortable life in the long run by learning to deal with this discomfort. And you feel stronger, you feel more confident in your own skin because you develop the thought that, okay, I don't like that, but I can handle it. You develop the sense that, all right, I will deal with what I need to, and it has nothing to do with food. Life will never be perfect. Eating is never going to be perfect either, and that is okay. There are going to be times when you have a bigger appetite, or maybe you eat more than usual, or you indulge in food that you enjoy more than you'd like to, and that is totally okay. Remember that when I talk about helping you overcome overeating, I'm always talking about the type of overeating that's leading to problems and leading to pain in your life. But overeating can also be really normal and a part of normal eating. I always, always, always want you to get curious about the overeating and never judge yourself for it, because that just never leads anywhere good. The way I help people with overeating, whether it's just from habit or from emotional overeating, is with a group I have called the Empowered Eaters Collective. And it's called the Empowered Eaters Collective because making empowered choices with food means you being in the driver's seat, feeling in control, but not in a way that's forced or in a way that you have to white knuckle it. It's about making choices about if you want to eat something, if you want to say no to something in a way that feels good and is aligned and isn't restrictive. It's also being able to say yes. It's food freedom. If you want more information and to get all the details, go to brittanyallisonrd.com/membership, and I will link that in the show notes. Thank you for listening today. I hope you benefited from this conversation, and the next time your thoughts tempt you towards harmful eating behaviors, you'll be able to recognize them and shift your focus to what you truly need. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review. This helps me spread the message of food freedom and reach those who don't even know yet that there is hope for them, that they don't have to struggle with their food issues forever. It helps the algorithm, it helps me get my work out there, and importantly, it helps others. So thank you in advance for sharing and reviewing. This is all we have for today, and I'm so looking forward to seeing you next time.